I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program was brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland, made with heart and passion. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of the latest episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We're counting down the days to the 4th of July, so this week's theme is independence. After all, we're an independent food radio station.
HRN is a labor of love. Staff, hosts, and listeners all share the belief that storytelling can change the world, one bite or sound bite at a time.
We take a moment to ponder our founding mothers and fathers, specifically what they were drinking during the Revolutionary War.
Rum in various combinations with beer and cider would be the order of the day.
We highlight a story of self-sufficiency on the island of Vieques, Puerto Rico.
The biggest thing we did was to start a lot of fermented vegetables because we knew the first thing to go would be refrigerator trucks coming to the island.
And we examine the challenges facing independent grocery stores across the U.S.
The struggle is real, but the future looks bright.
Tune in to this week's episode of Meat and Three, available at heritageradionetwork.org and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. This is your host, Elena Santigade. So every year, the Fancy Food Show, and in recent years, the Good Food Mercantile, and the famed Cheesemonger Invitational, take place over the same whirlwind few days at the end of June in New York City. It's an exciting time for those of us in the cheese industry, because if you're here in the city all the time, it means that everyone comes to town. So that brings me to our guests today who are here in studio with me in the midst of what I'm sure has been an intense sales trip here in the United States. So here in the studio, I'm going to be chatting with Clara Diaz, and also Ruben Valbuena is here, and they're both from Now, Clara, tell me how to say the name of where you're from.
You mean the city?
The business.
Cultivo.
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 And do you say Quesería? Cultivo?
You say Quesería Cultivo.
Okay.
And then the farm, which is even more difficult, is Cantagrullas. Granja Cantagrullas.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to practice that one at
home. Yeah, you have to.
So Cultivo is based in Madrid. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you very much. We're excited.
And I'm really glad that you made it through the Cheesemonger Invitational.
I mean, thank you very much. We are so honored to be here. It was, thrilling for us.
Yeah.
Don't have any word.
Totally. Listeners, Clara's actually a judge, and she and I were paired up to judge a few of the competition categories together. So that was a blast, and I feel so lucky that I got to know you ahead of our time in the studio today.
Yeah.
What did you think of that experience?
I mean, it was great. I don't judge that much. I mean, that often.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at least not in such a professional way as it actually was. It was super interesting to me to see how, seriously every judge was about it and how professionally was actually, the whole thing going.
Yeah, like on the face of it, the Cheesemonger Invitational is like this huge party. It's like this cheese bash. But you're right. There is this like very intense seriousness in the judging that I've also felt over the last few years of being a judge.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the points that actually, makes the Cheesemonger Invitational stands out. Mm-hmm. Do you say that?
Yeah.
Stands out?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we just take cheese in such a professional way. So, so it's not that much about impersonal businesses or about, just people. Mm-hmm. It's about people very much involved in the sector.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Okay. So Cultivo Yep. Your business, where you're coming from, is still pretty new to me. And I know that it's only a few years old itself, right? So can you explain a bit for our listeners, like, what is Cultivo?
Yeah, okay. So I like to say that Cultivo is a platform mm-hmm. from where we do support, defend, and introduce to the general public mm-hmm. What's actually happening and going on the rural world in Spain in terms of cheese. Hmm. So what's actually, basically defend the work of artisan cheesemakers all over the country.
Oh, I really love that phrasing. You defend the work of artisan cheesemakers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the points that definitely makes Cultivo different is that we are the society itself. Mm-hmm. The company itself. Mm-hmm. It's formed by three different cheesemakers. So okay. we have three different farms, three different dairies.
Uh-huh.
So the project was born in 2014 mm-hmm. with and it was actually born of a necessity, of a need, hmm. of the need of having a platform from where being able to introduce to people the cheeses we were actually making and that weren't that well known because of the structure of the cheese making mm-hmm. landscape in Spain. Because
right, yeah. So were these three cheesemakers selling their cheeses only locally previous to that, or were they selling in Madrid a bit but just not really reaching people the way they wanted to?
They were selling mostly locally mm-hmm. as seen, you know, until now it's changing a little bit, but
yeah.
10 years ago, if you wanted to, you know, to buy a proper cheese, an artisan cheese, mm-hmm. you basically had to go to the door of the dairy,
hmm.
which was quite, you know, complicated,
right.
Complicating for the cheesemakers then to right. yeah, to get
well,
their
then
products.
They have to also be retailers themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the customers have to make that trip, you know, out of your urban areas. So Cultivo then opened, flagship shop in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say the pictures look amazing.
Thank you. Thank
it
you.
It looks like a gorgeous, yeah, gorgeous spot.
I don't know from where we took that that sense of style from.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, like, what was your inspiration for how you were going to do that shop?
I mean, I have to name definitely Nilsia Dairy.
Okay, that was I was going to specifically ask.
Yeah.
When I read about, listeners, if you haven't Googled it yet while we're speaking, the Cultivo shop is similar to Neil's Yard Dairy in that they're, it's humidity controlled,
yeah.
and the lighting is pretty low. And so they have the cheeses just out there in all their spectacular glory, the
yeah.
way that they are at Neil's
yeah,
Yard.
Happy cheeses, yeah.
So, okay, so Neil's Yard was a direct inspiration.
I mean, sure. And, mm-hmm. It's fair to say that because Álvaro and Maria, who mm-hmm. are our partners in Cultivo,
uh-huh.
they were working as part of their staff for almost 5 years. So Álvaro uh-huh. was the manager of the shop in Covent Garden they mm-hmm. had. So basically when they came back to Spain after their, you know, London experience,
right.
this was an idea that have had in their mind for a long time, also for Ruben from another perspective, but, you know, mm-hmm. mostly the same. I mean, this idea of, you know, developing a concept that would look like Nils Yard Dairy in a way, but that basically would help us, as I told you before, you know, introducing not just our cheeses, but the cheeses from cheesemakers all over the country.
Right. So,
yeah.
Okay. So how many cheeses do you have in the shop?
I would say like 40, more or less.
40?
Yeah.
That's a great size.
Yeah. I mean, not too big, not too small. You
right.
know?
It's like just enough that you're turning inventory over. Everything's fresh.
Yeah.
You can really focus on each. And you get probably a good range. Like, you don't have too much redundancy. You don't have too many of one style.
Just like that. I mean, that's something that we have in mind from the very beginning. Like, we don't want to... we don't want to have an overwhelming offer that mm-hmm. you can't even remember every cheese that is on the counter.
Right.
We want to keep it quite small, so we are able to have high rotation and of the product, and it's definitely working for us. We take care a lot of that.
So, was there anything similar to what you have started doing in Spain? Were there any other models that you sort of looked to?
No, I mean, there were definitely another shops, mm-hmm. But not same concept,
right.
Definitely as well. I mean, there were shops, right?
And right.
Especially in Madrid, there was, as is the capital,
right.
there were like a couple of shops that, were...
Like the specialty cheese,
shops.
Charcuterie.
Yeah,
or,
definitely. Yeah. But not same, not same concept, mm-hmm. not same, anything basically.
And so how has it been received? What were people... Because it's a pretty radical concept. Like, I think that if someone opened a shop in New York that's similar to Neil's Yard or similar to Cultivo, it would be so different.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, how did customers react?
We were talking about it in this morning. The conclusion is that, every single concept... I think my opinion is that every single concept can actually, go ahead and mm-hmm. work if there is someone defending it, behind the counter.
You need a champion.
Not just behind the counter, but if you are really passionate about it and if you are really trying. Because, for sure New York is a difficult city, right? But if you think of Spain is a country where... till 5 years ago, nobody knew what a lactic cheese was. Everybody
really
was like about Manchego, Cabrales, and a few more. So
right, those super traditional
Spanish
cheeses.
Yeah, I mean for sure, and the economic situation, mm-hmm. It wasn't that good either. Like, we are not in such a European rich country, right?
Right.
So making our concept work in a country like that is not that easy. People doesn't eat that, that much of cheese. People is not that much into cheese. In France, for example.
Right, right. So you really had sort of almost a cultural challenge to inspire people to make cheese more of their daily lives, but also to have that like value proposition where you express to people the value inherent in that cheese and why the price is what it is, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's our main point and difference. If you come into our shop, it's more of a training in cheese almost. I like to say that it's a very much of an educational experience, actually, mm-hmm. because there's always someone behind the counter that is going to get you through the whole thing.
Wow.
Like where it's been made, everything, not just, not just, a little bit of information about the cheese or so. You can ask whatever you want, mm-hmm. Because we know everything about the cheeses we are working with. So, it's very educational. So when the customer goes home, then realize that has learned a lot about what it's actually about to eat. So creating experiences, around the cheese. I think that's our thing, yeah.
Yeah, so you're not just selling the cheese, you're selling that whole experience.
Definitely not.
Great.
Otherwise we couldn't, it's not, I don't know if just selling cheese is something that you can do anymore,
Right.
You can't just sell cheese. You can do it if you're, big company.
Yeah, but you're right. But if you're going to really make it, you have to add in these other components.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm just dying to go book my trip to Madrid.
You have to. We're waiting for you.
Oh, man. Okay. So we're actually going to take a quick break.
Yeah. Good.
And we will be back with Clara Diaz of Cultivo here. Listeners, you can use this opportunity to pull the trigger and join the Heritage Radio Network community by becoming a member. It's our summer membership drive, and we hope you'll do your part to help keep cutting the curd on the pod waves. Okay, so we'll be right back with Clara of Quesería Cultivo after this quick break.
Today's program was brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and passion. Since the early 1900s, Emmy has been a passionate supporter of farmers, cheesemakers, and family tradition. They believe in sustainable agriculture and respect for the people, land, and animals that make their business possible. Remaining dedicated to tradition, they strive to lead the industry in innovation, ensuring they bring you only the highest quality, best-tasting cheese from Switzerland. Emmy is best known for importing more than 80% of the Swiss Gruyere into the United States, but that's not to overshadow their other specialty cheeses, including Kaltbach cave-age cheeses, Der Scharfe Max, Appenzeller, Tête de Moine, and traditional Emmentaler. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
Hey, this is Michael Harlan Turkel from the Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I've been with the station for over 8 years, 350 shows, and it is the most consistent thing in my life. Every Tuesday at 3, I know to be here in studio, but I also get the privilege of meeting such amazing people, artists, artisans within the industry. I get to learn a new factoid, a new way of life from these wonderful people. And I hope you do too by listening and that you donate to our summer drive. Just go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate and click on the beating heart. And we'd even appreciate monthly recurring donations to any show on the network you could designate to the food scene, the speakeasy, and that many more.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd, broadcasting live on the Heritage Radio Network. So I'm here with Clara Diaz, and we're talking about the enterprising cheese business that is Cultivo in Madrid, Spain. So a big part of the events you've been attending over the past few days, the Cheesemonger Invitational, the Fancy Food Show, is sales, right? Like producers, distributors, retailers, chefs, and everyone in between in the food industry are scoping out new opportunities at these events. It's a big sales weekend. So I know that you are here to sell some cheese as well, not just to let us know about this amazing new shop in Madrid. And from what I understand, it's one cheese to be specific. Listeners, if you haven't heard of it yet, this cheese we're about to reveal is about to land in the United States, and it sounds pretty incredible. Now, Clara, correct me if I'm wrong on these stats, but it's a 60-pound wheel. It's made with raw sheep's milk.
Right.
And it is a cloth-bound cheddar.
Right.
And tell us the name of the cheese.
Well, the name for the American customers is going to be CG40.
CG40. And is that Cultivo? What's the CG?
CG means it's for Cantagruyas, which is the dairy.
Got it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the dairies that are part of this, the trio of the three cheesemakers
right.
who founded Cultivo.
Right.
So right. CG40. And what is the 40?
The 40 is basically because of the kilos.
It's 40 kilos. Metric, you know, us Americans, we can't even think of
that. Everybody was asking me about that.
Change it to CG60 for the United States. Okay, so tell us about the cheese. Why this format? What is this cheese? Why is this the one you're bringing over? Let's start with the format, though. It's a pretty unique size.
It is a unique size, especially in Spain, right? Mm-hmm. And this fact has a lot to do with Ruben's background, basically, mm-hmm. right? Ruben, who is here.
Ruben
with
is
me.
Here in the studio with
yeah.
us, folks.
Yeah. No. He's so quiet.
He's so quiet.
He needs some rest. So
Ruben is the cheesemaker.
Ruben is the cheesemaker.
Yes. I could tell from the hands.
Yeah.
I can always tell.
Yeah. and you haven't seen him bowling. I mean, it's crazy. It's like super. You can see that he spends a lot of time on the vat, you know, just like moving the cards.
Because have we just discovered a new thing, the cheesemaker bowling leagues? This could take the world by storm.
I think so.
Cheesemonger invitation.
We were yesterday at the Brooklyn bowling, so that's when I discovered.
So now you've just seen what can happen when a cheesemaker bowls.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a new experience. So the thing is that he and Estela, who is his wife, mm-hmm. they founded Cantagrullas in 2011.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they basically were right back from France, from where Estela is from.
Okay.
And Ruben had started having a lot of contact with cheesemakers all over the countryside in France. Mm-hmm. And so he had learned how to make cheese with them, basically. He learned to make a wide range of different recipes, from lactic cheeses to Cantal, Salers, and all that kind, right?
Wow.
Which is basically what he's doing. Yeah. He's doing now with
precursor to cheddar, right?
So, when they came back to Spain, in order to set up this dairy, mm-hmm. after the cheese discovery in France, because there wasn't anything before that. Their idea was basically using the milk of his sister's livestock,
okay.
Which was sheep's milk. In order to make the cheeses, right? So it was basically about continue the transformation process, right?
Right.
Having the whole control over the raw material, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was the start, basically, and they just found. I mean, Ruben, he wanted to develop like new recipes that mm-hmm. had anything to do with was actually being made in Spain at the moment, which was all about tradition, right?
Right.
So he thought that a good way to actually cross the market? No, you don't say that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, you
like
could.
To get into the market.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
break into the market.
Yeah, right. Was, you know, develop something that was
totally different.
Totally different, right?
So
that's that's CG40 at the end.
And is it what type of sheep? What's the breed of sheep?
The breed
on the farm
is Oveja Castellana,
okay,
which is a breed of that particular area.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Very good. And so it's just milk from Ruben's sister's farm.
It's not his sister's farm anymore. Okay. That was like the first
at the very beginning.
At the very beginning.
Got it.
But now it's same breed.
Got it.
And the milk comes from a neighborhood. So,
okay.
from a neighbor.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And so, oh my gosh, I'm like dying to try the cheese. I'm actually kicking myself that I didn't taste it when we were judging
you
the Cheesemonger Invitational.
No way.
So now I have to go hunting around for it. And I hear that you're only bringing in something like 15 wheels at first.
Right.
So there's not much of this cheese.
Right, right. You know, when Jonathan and Adam from Colombia Cheese, mm-hmm. they visited us in Spain like some months ago, we were just, we were just on a break in production. We were having like a gap.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like,
yep.
making some changes at the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So because we were like, you know, bringing a new vat, a bigger one, changing the aging
some
rooms.
Equipment change,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. So the stock we had was actually quite low at the moment.
Mm.
But, I mean, they fell in love. We basically fell in love with each other, you know, the projects, right? I mean,
right.
Colombia and Cultivo looked, you know,
yeah,
like made from each other
there,
from the
yeah.
very beginning. And we knew from, you know, from second one that we will work together.
Right.
So we were in the cold rooms in Cantagrullas, and we were basically already compromising, I mean, the cheeses, right? Like, okay,
right.
This is all, these are all
they were putting their name on
gonna
it.
Gonna go
right.
to Colombia, right?
Right.
So at this moment, at this time, we don't have anymore. We just have like 10 left, uh-huh. and 5 of them are going to be leaving Spain like tomorrow or so.
Oh, wow.
In its way to the estates.
Coming here.
Yeah, coming here. And then the others are going to be leaving like in 2 weeks or so. So,
wow. And how old is the cheese? How long is it aged?
Around 10 months. Okay. 10, 11 months. Mm-hmm. We like it on that point, you know, on that maturation. We think it's best age, basically.
So one of the things that Niels Jahr does is, I don't know if you've ever met Bronwyn Percival, yeah. but Bronwyn will go around and taste the cheeses and do the selection. She'll taste cheese with cheesemakers that they work with and, work on the selection of which wheels will, you know, go into the shop yeah. or go into different yeah, export sure. markets. And so are you doing that kind of approach with your cheesemakers?
Definitely. Mm. I mean, the good thing we have is that we have a very close relation with all of them
right.
as we are part of the cheesemaker community. I mean, we know right. we are talking about. I mean, we know what are we talking about, right?
Right.
So we are not just involved on, you know, improving our cheesemaking processes, but mm-hmm. also their cheesemaking processes. Like, you right. know, this is the profile we actually think that can work in the American market. This is the profile right. that we need for the shop.
Right.
And yeah, all that work. Yeah.
And so right now, is the American market your first export market, or are you also exporting to other countries?
We are exporting to other countries.
Okay.
We were born in 2014.
Yeah, still so new.
As cultivo, right?
Right.
So this is just some years ago.
Yeah.
And we started, doing some export like 2 years ago or so.
Okay.
First, of course, to the rest of Europe.
Right.
And then we have entered the Peruvian market also like 1 year ago. So
interesting.
Yeah, South America is quite interesting for us, actually.
How did that? How did that come about? And are you? What cheeses do you find? Since we don't do, I mean, American cheesemakers still are not really exporting too much. We have uh-huh. some cheesemakers who export to Australia, but in terms of the artisan, the specialty community, there's not that's a newer part of the business for uh-huh. the U.S. cheesemakers. And so I'm curious to hear about South America and how that's going and what cheeses you sort of funnel into that market.
South America is for us a nice market because mm-hmm. basically, I mean, first of all, we share a language,
right.
which is
makes it very
super
easy.
helpful.
Yeah.
It is super helpful. And so we kind of understand each other, right? Mm-hmm. Also in terms of, in terms of flavors, in terms of,
right.
you know, the way we understand food, even.
Right, right. The like cultural approach.
Yeah,
to food.
Yeah, yeah. There's a kind of cultural approach. Yeah, I would say that every South American country is different.
Right.
Such a
Makes
just
sense.
Like in Europe,
of course.
Or any other continent, or mm-hmm. you know, any other part of the world, because it's quite big. But there's not a lot of artisan cheeses over there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you can find is. It's usually, you know, processed and
right.
like big, big.
More of an industrial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Approach.
So I would say there's quite a, I don't know, virgin market.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can help developing.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. So here's a question for you. Since you're a few years in and you have these different components to the Cultivo business, you know, what were you expecting when you started all of this? Like, did you have a vision for like what success would look like or what you wanted to do? And then I'm curious now that you're a few years in, is the reality different from what you expected or... usually is. Right?
Sure. I mean, it's much crazier than what you could think.
Yeah. What do you mean by crazy?
First of all, exciting. It's super exciting. I mean, this world of cheese is just so good. You have like, I would say that you have a lot of opportunities of doing nice things if you if you, you know, try like really hard, you can get to meet a lot of people all over the world. And is if, I mean, it's such a new sector. I mean, we have been making cheese, you know, I mean, since we are on Earth,
since
right?
the humans.
But I think that still being such a new market. So I think any of us, we can like help a lot developing like new ways of that are going to be good for the cheese, for the whole sector. And when we started, as I told you at the very beginning, it was a bit of a need. I mean, as cheesemakers, we were in need of having a platform from where being able to tell our stories. So that was a need.
That was really what
we need to sell our cheeses. Basically, we need to introduce them to the, you know, to the massive. To the massive public. I mean, not just to the people that comes over the dairy, like, hello, we are here. Can you show us the dairy? I mean, that wasn't enough. That's not enough for a business, right?
No way.
So that was definitely the point. And after that, I think because the team has been growing a lot since then. I mean, we are almost 20 people now, which is already, you know, pretty big. And you know, so also from the you know, our expectations are different. They are changing, and every day we discover like new ways of doing what we actually want to do, or to get to new challenges as well, new difficulties. So I think the way gets developed as you know. At the same time as the individuals that actually compose the company.
That's a good point.
Makes sense.
That the company kind of grows and changes as you bring people in and as your group is growing.
Right. I think that, I mean, the company and the person, the people who actually
create
and it's part of that company, they follow the same, you know, same way actually.
Great. Wow. Well, Clara, Ruben, thank you both so much for being here in the studio today. I'm excited because I think you're going to have lunch at Roberta's after. You got to have some good New York pizza.
Sure. Thank you very much for having us.
I can't wait to visit Cultivo myself someday. Spain is now jumped to the top.
We are opening a new shop in September.
All right.
So, yeah.
Good. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Listeners, thanks for tuning in. I'm Elena Santigade, and we'll be back next week with more from the cheese world on Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I know I've been so blue. I prayed each night for someone exactly like you.
Hey. Are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love
watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.